One day after it test-fired a cruise missile over the Sea of Japan, North Korea renewed its request for direct talks with the United States on its nuclear weapons program. It accused the Bush administration of evading its responsibility by refusing to negotiate. Washington has lodged a formal protest over last week's interception in international waters of a U.S. reconnaissance plane by North Korean fighters. NPR's Eric Weiner reports from Seoul.
U.S. officials as well as North Korea's neighbors have downplayed the importance of the recent missile launch. The test firing into the Sea of Japan was widely expected. Some analysts say what's most significant is that North Korea chose to fire another short-range cruise missile rather than launching one of its long-range ballistic missiles. Douglas Shin is a human rights activist who closely monitors events in North Korea.
Firing off this short-range missile, okay, that's a little stimulation, it's a little tickling, but it's not a real knife at your throat, right? So they are afraid. They are afraid.
If North Korea is afraid, it certainly doesn't show in its official rhetoric, which remains as fiery as ever. Today, the country's official news agency warned that increasing pressure on North Korea would only make a clash inevitable. North Korea says its missile tests, as well as the recent interception of a U.S. spy plane, are purely in self-defense. The U.S., it claims, is preparing to launch a preemptive strike against North Korea's military bases and nuclear facilities. As evidence, it points to the recent deployment of 24 long-range bombers to Guam and the military training exercises currently taking place with South Korean and U.S. troops. U.S. officials say all options, including the military option, are on the table, but insist there are currently no plans to attack North Korea. The military training exercises are routine, they say, and the bombers were dispatched to Guam as a precaution in case North Korea tries to take advantage of America's current preoccupation with Iraq. Scott Snyder, Korea representative of the Asia Foundation in Seoul, says that is a real possibility.
They have to do whatever they're going to do before the end of Iraq, and so I think that they're very much timing their activities in ways that are designed to complicate a single-minded U.S. focus on Iraq, because they know that if they wait until after Iraq, that could be too late.
Snyder says North Korea may soon restart a nuclear reprocessing plant, enabling it to produce enough plutonium to make one nuclear bomb per month for the next 6 months. That's in addition to the one or two nuclear bombs the CIA believes North Korea may already have. Many analysts warn that Pyongyang's nuclear weapons program poses a far more immediate threat to U.S. security than does Iraq. They point out that while Iraq is destroying missiles, North Korea is launching them. That's why congressional Democrats say they want the U.S. to hold talks with North Korea sooner rather than later. In fact, both the U.S. and North Korea say they are ready to sit down and talk. They just can't agree on how or where. The U.S. wants to hold multilateral talks with China, Russia, Japan, and South Korea also at the table. North Korea is insisting on direct one-on-one negotiations with the U.S. Activist Douglas Shin says that's because North Korea knows it's the only way it can win concessions.
So that's why they want the bilateral talk, because one-on-one relationship is the only ring or arena they can do this pay me or I'll kill you kind of thing. International setting, they will be isolated, and that will be the end of their days.
Shin does not believe that North Korea actually wants to pick a fight with the U.S., but he fears that a miscalculation by either side might cause events on the Korean Peninsula to spiral out of control. Eric Weiner, NPR News, Seoul.